You don't say. You don't say. Remember that?
Yeah.
I guess it was replaced with really? Really?
You don't say. Yeah, I remember that.
It is 9:07. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Happy, happy Monday. We're here to make it great. Still celebrating the great Gator victory over LSU in the Swamp, 27-16. Georgia beat Tennessee, 31-17. And in the NFL, Buffalo breaks the unbeaten streak. Kansas City Chiefs were 9-0. Now they're 9-1. They got beat by the Bills 30-21. Lots of football players doing the Trump dance. I like it.
Nice.
And we'll get back to that in just a little bit. But, Morning Joe co-anchors Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, two of the news media's most vocal opponents of Trump policy in recent years, told MSNBC viewers Monday morning they were hoping for some form of detente, and maybe that's why they went down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring.
No.
And what do I say to that? You don't say.
Wow.
You don't say.
That's interesting.
The duo, who have in recent years grappled with hurtful invective from President-elect Donald Trump, visited him and members of his team at Mar-a-Lago Friday, marking the first time they have met with him in person in 7 years. I like this one. Quote, "We didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we told him so."
That's putting it mildly.
Citing issues such as abortion and the potential for retribution against political enemies in the media, "What we did agree on was to restart communications." Yeah, when you did everything you possibly could in your power to destroy this man, his character, his chance of regaining the White House, now it's time to restart communications.
Unreal.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. This shows who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And I've thought it for a long time. I'm like, how much are they really in? Because Scarborough allegedly was some sort of a Republican at some point.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Sorry, excuse for that.
Yeah, right.
But it comes down to this. What they do, clearly now, it's shtick. That's all it is.
Yeah.
They laugh. They laugh between the breaks. They laugh after their show. They laugh and they think it's funny. They're making a living off of this shtick, getting people to, in this case, hate Trump. But when push comes to shove, where are they at? Down in Mar-a-Lago, making nice, kissing butt. Because, see, to them, it's not real. It's not real. It's like, yeah, we got a job to do, but, you know, we can put that aside and, you know, get together. No, no, no. They still want to be in all the important, influential circles. They want to be seen at the big parties and all that. But what they do on the air is a joke. It's a joke. And it's really sad that people tune into that and take it with some element of credibility, because it doesn't deserve any. In 2018, Trump prompted shock when he made remarks about Brzezinski's appearance. Crazy Mika and Psycho Joe are phrases he's tried to make common, even though the hosts have maintained one of the longest-running anchor teams on a national morning news program. And the two have not spoken directly to Trump since March of 2020, Brzezinski said, except for a call Scarborough made to him following the recent attempt made on Trump's life in Butler, Pennsylvania. She said Trump was cheerful, upbeat, and seemed interested in finding common ground with Democrats on some of the most divisive issues. Wow, have they really come around, haven't they? It's amazing, you know? Jump on the bandwagon, you two goofballs. Yeah, and what exactly are you going to tell your audience now? He's not really this Nazi, awful Hitler guy that you told them, that you told your listeners and viewers that he was for years? Well, which is it? You know? And look, and they do this, and they don't even skip a beat. Like, again, they're above the common man. This is elitism. This is elitism at its most, I guess, illustrated form. There they are, you know, on TV, a morning show.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to tell you. They're going to tell you what they think. And then they laugh.
Wow.
And when they get the opportunity, they are just schmoozing and kissing butt.
Hypocrite, party of two.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's even worse than that. I don't know.
It is.
But they have a show. They're one of the longest running anchor teams on national morning news. Okay. The Israel Defense Forces killed Hezbollah chief of media relations, Mohammed Afif, airstrike Beirut Sunday. This is according to Reuters. Nobody else has really commented on it. The Israeli security force have not commented on it. So this is a guy that it says an Israeli strike on a building in a densely populated district of Beirut on Sunday killed the media relations chief of Hezbollah. That was according to two Lebanese security sources. No immediate confirmation from Hezbollah and the Israeli military, like I said, they didn't want to comment on that either. President-elect Donald Trump has nominated Brendan Carr to serve as chairman of the FCC. Now, he was nominated by Trump in 2017, confirmed by the U.S. Senate unanimously three times. He serves as senior Republican member of the FCC. This announcement of Carr's appointment, the president-elect said he is designating him as permanent chairman due to his term. His current term runs through 2029 because of his great work. I'll now be designating him as permanent chairman. And he calls Carr a warrior for free speech. He's fought against a regulatory lawfare that stifled Americans' freedoms and held back our economy. We will end regulatory onslaught that's been crippling America's job creators and innovators and ensure that the FCC delivers for rural America. Carr thanked Trump in a post on X, adding that he is humbled and honored to serve as chairman of the FCC. It was just this past week that Brendan Carr publicly declared that big tech has been running a censorship cartel, which would include an organization like NewsGuard, Facebook, Google, Apple, Microsoft, and others have played central roles in the censorship cartel. Yep. And he's absolutely right. And I believe him to be one of the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if that'll have an impact, especially on social media moving forward.
Yeah. That's a messy area.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, I mean, you know, the whole reason why Elon bought Twitter is because they were playing that censorship game. But I guess to some degree, some told me that X is kind of a mess, too. Mm. You know, I just get bits and pieces. Vivek Ramaswamy, he wants to get to work in the Department of Government Efficiency, where he will share an office with Elon Musk.
Hope it's a big office. They kind of like, they're probably used to their space.
I don't know if they'll always be in the office.
Oh, yeah, they're both busy, you know, big business and all that.
And they probably both have really good internet connections.
I'm sure they do.
It is 9:15. Sure. Happy Monday. We're making it great. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Don't forget the Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally get your podcast. Just click on subscribe and you're in. Hang in there. 9:20, time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes! Good morning and happy, happy Monday. We're here to make it great. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Morning, Greg.
Good morning.
All right, had a good weekend?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Busy one, but good, yeah.
Starting fights in somebody's front yard and claiming it was all because of a boxing match and you got too excited?
Yeah, then the police were all over the place. It was amazing.
I heard that.
Yeah, they were.
Which actually, that part of the story may be correct.
That part was true.
So a little disappointed.
Oh,
well,
yes.
First of all, in how late the fight, which I warned you it was going to be.
Yeah, but midnight?
I'm telling you, I've been down that road, man.
Yeah, I know.
And
what was weird was to think when I was really kind of pondering it, I mean, I remember going to an event with a radio station I worked at those decades ago, going to, you know, with a big pay-per-view at event, Tyson fight. That had to be, what, mid-90s or something? It's like, wow, and here we are Again, who would have dreamed?
And it just, it's just too late. I don't know why they insist on doing that. I remember in the old days, I guess, the idea was, like, if you're having it in, you know, a Trump Towers or some other place.
Yeah, it's where an event. Yeah.
They want people to drink and spend money and all that. But once it goes to pay-per-view, I mean, that's where the big money is. Of course, Netflix isn't really considered it wasn't a pay-per-view venue per se. If you were a Netflix subscriber, you got the fight or some of the fight, or you got that, you know, frozen screen. And other issues. They admit that, I guess their expectations were off a little bit about the fight. Hey, it goes to show you, too, how large of an audience you can gain if you remove the... a barrier like, a $50, $100. I mean, some of those pay-per-views are not cheap.
They just weren't prepared for the volume, I guess, because, man, it was bad.
Yeah. Jamie Dimon, and he's the J.P. Morgan Chase CEO, Jamie Dimon. He said, Wall Street bankers are dancing in the street. That's dancing in the street. Is that Martha and the Vandellas?
Yeah, it'd be a good song there. Yeah.
They are dancing in the street because President-elect Donald Trump's big win.
Wow.
After years of stringent regulations, they're looking forward to deregulation under Trump, regardless of who they voted for. Dimon said this at the APEC CEO Summit in Peru Thursday, as Bloomberg video shows. He said a lot of bankers, they're dancing in the street because they've had successive years and years of regulations, a lot of which stymied credit. He could have kept the banks equally safe, but had them do more credit, noting that the average U.S. bank used to hold $100 in deposits for every $100 loaned. Regulations have clawed that back to $65 in loans for every $100 in deposits. Now, I thought that they had way exceeded it the other way around. You know what I mean? Lending money that they didn't even come close to. Wasn't that the too big to fail, that whole idea?
Yeah.
Is that what they're talking about, the regulation that came in? I mean, I understand it. You can't loan out more than, $100 in loans if you don't have at least $100 in deposits. I mean, that's, you don't want to upset that. In other words, everything then turns to paper. It's fake. Which, I don't know. If that's what you want, if for some reason the regulators think they're geniuses, and that's the best way to run the banking system, so be it, he said. He's been CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase since 2006. Wow. I bet you he makes a livable wage.
Probably he can buy, yeah. Better than the average Joe. Yeah, probably so.
Oh, my gosh.
Paycheck to paycheck. But, boy, look at those paychecks.
Yeah. Oh, General, this is not good news. General Motors announced Friday laying off some 1,000 workers worldwide, cutting costs as it tries to compete in a crowded global automobile market. The GM workers impacted, mostly white collar, were told early in the morning that as they prepared for the weekend, the company confirmed the layoffs in a statement but gave few details. The move comes on the back of a recent GM recall for 450,000 vehicles due to a fault in the braking system. We need to optimize for speed and excellence. This includes operating with efficiency, ensuring we have the right team structure, and focusing on our top priorities. The Associated Press report noted that the broader reasons for the layoffs in tight manufacturing markets across the globe could be that GM and other automakers have been navigating an uncertain transition to electric vehicles. I mean, yeah, thanks, Brandon, for basically... I mean, sending these people down a pathway through mandates, and I'm sure they didn't see much choice in the matter. Look, we're going to have to play along, or we're not going to be in the game at all. And the timetable for what Biden was shooting for clearly was wrong. None of the data matches up with what they thought they could do. But did they change it in time? No. Anyway, yeah, I feel for the automakers. I do. I mean, can you imagine some of the discussions they had, say, in the boardroom. You know, I'd be like, yeah, I hear all this talk out of D.C., but yeah, I don't get too many customers from D.C. buying automobiles at my dealership. I see hardworking Americans buying them. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you what they like and what they want. And the percentage of those that are searching for electric cars is minuscule compared to all the other things that people are looking for. You know, and then they go, well, this is, you know, this is the future. And the company has had to develop and update gas-powered models while investing in EV battery and assembly plants, as well as minerals and other parts for the next generation of electric vehicles. GM has about 150,000 employees worldwide, with the largest group at its technical center in the Detroit suburb of Warren, Michigan. Oh, a stone's throw, or maybe a little bit further from where I grew up. The company has about 40,000 white-collar workers. The layoffs come after GM in August laid off more than 1,000 salaried employees working in its software and services organization. Trump's going to bring back manufacturing in a big, big way. I can feel it. It's going to be good. It's going to be strong. It's what we need. 9:27 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Kamala Harris. Out of politics? Moving to Canada? Right. Or running for another office?
Oh.
Interesting. We'll share the scoop with you coming up next. And don't forget, we also have things that make you smile coming up in a little bit, too. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Thank you, dear Lord, for another absolutely gorgeous day.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. We're doing our best to make Mondays great again. The good Lord, he's outdone us again, which he always does.
Yeah.
It is 9:35. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And, yep, it is Monday. Gosh, coming off that huge, huge win for the Gators. 27-16 over LSU. And also, Radiant Credit Union. We've been giving you tropical weather updates and stuff like that. Sarah was forming. And it looked like it could have been maybe something formidable we'd have to pay attention to. It looks like it's pretty much busted all apart.
Nice.
If that changes, I will let you know. But in the meantime, let's be happy.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's enjoy this for real fall weather. At least it appears for now. Oh, don't forget, Rock the Country is coming. This is going to be another awesome show. We the people. 97.3 The Sky has your free tickets. I'll begin giving you code words tomorrow morning to see Kid Rock, Hank Jr., Nickelback, Tracy Lawrence, and many more. This is Ocala, May 9th and 10th. And so listen tomorrow and get your code word. Text and win your tickets. Message and data rates apply. If you want to get your tickets, get them now. They're on sale at rockthecountry.com. Winning tickets is fun.
Absolutely. Going to cool concerts is fun.
Absolutely.
And what a lineup.
Kid Rock, yeah, he always puts on a good show.
Oh, yeah.
Kamala Harris. What's she going to do? She's still relatively young in the world of politics. I mean, she did the baby compared to Joe Biden.
Well, most of us are.
So what is she going to do?
Hmm.
Would you hire her to be maybe a consultant? What would she... What'd you have her consult for?
Nothing that required actually speaking to people, because I wouldn't want them being screeched at all the time.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah.
And whatever product you had for her to present would get this repetitive, same sentence, different words. I mean, it would take so long to even present the product.
Well, what if they had a script, though? Like a teleprompter.
Now that she could follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought about that. That
but
would work.
She's going to stick with what she knows and loves. The world of politics. A poll co-sponsored by the left-leaning Los Angeles Times props up failed presidential candidate Kamala Harris as a front-runner for the 2026 California gubernatorial race.
I'm not surprised.
That is, look, if she's going to do well anywhere, that would be the place. That's her that's her home area, pretty much,
her
right?
Stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Where she worked her way to where she's at today.
Yep.
Sort of, kind of.
And the dude with the nice hair?
Yeah, Gavin.
Yeah, yeah, he's got to leave because of term limits.
I think the fact that they worked together in the past, I think I could. California people are crazy enough to put her in office.
Yep. The poll from UC Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies.
Berkeley. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How to study destroying our government shows Vice President Kamala Harris may benefit from some name recognition in a potentially crowded field.
Sure.
And has had the support of many Democrat voters in the state. And currently, Gavin Newsom, the governor, cannot seek re-election due to term limits. Nearly all voters in this state have an opinion of her. Mm-hmm. And that's really the big advantage that she brings to an early poll, according to Mark DiCamillo, the director of the Berkeley IGS poll. None of the other candidates are as well known to the voting public. Harris has not released any plans to run for governor, although she has previously joked about doing so. What hasn't she joked about? I mean, you could pretty much say anything in front of her and get a laughing response.
More like a cackling response.
Yes. Cackling. I was being kind.
Yeah. Look at you. Look at you making Mondays great.
I still think she might team up with Hillary. Cackles and Cankles, the tour, coming to a town near you.
I love the concept of that T-shirt. It'd be awesome.
The poll, though, did not match up Harris against other potential candidates, but instead pitched her on her own. It was conducted before the presidential election. Oh, interesting.
Hmm.
And the LA Times, by the way, did not endorse a candidate. Out of the overall California voters, 33% say they're very likely to support her. 13% say somewhat likely. So what's that, 46? That's not bad.
Okay.
Although 36% said not during a cold day in hell. No, they said not at all likely to support her.
Yeah. Well, even if they didn't tour, you know, podcasts are the popular thing. You know, the Cackles and Cankles podcast. And they both could screech at each other and at everybody listening.
Yeah, but that's the thing is who's really going to listen? Even people that might like or agree with a lot of their policies, couldn't necessarily stand to hear them both talking.
Good
either
point.
One of them talking.
Good, yeah, good point.
I mean, just.
But I love you.
To each his own.
Your name is the best ever for that.
To each his own.
I love it.
Yeah. So anyway, look, they're looking at those numbers. I'm sure that she is looking for her next opportunity.
Well, okay, speaking of which, what about that rumor, and we've seen it from a couple of places, that there are those who would like to convince Joe to go ahead and step aside now so that she gets to be president for a little while?
I think that that would be a big mistake on a lot of different levels. I mean, all kidding aside, we're not in a geopolitical great position right now. It looks like things are going to escalate now. We allowed these long-range missiles to be deployed by Ukraine into Russia. That's not going to lead to anything good or positive. And, you know, the Chinese any day now could be waiting for, you know, the right day to sail some ships to Taiwan.
Yeah.
And pretty much blockade that off. They could do that fairly quickly and easily.
Mm-hmm.
I just think any additional change other than the transfer now to power to from the Biden administration to Trump's, I think anything in addition to that is unnecessary and taking unnecessary risk. And I don't see the benefit at all to the American people. In fact, I think it puts us at much bigger risk.
Right. And even, I mean, you know, we were talking earlier, even just the change on the whole longer range missile thing between Ukraine and Russia, a stupid move probably. And then so to put her in office, what, just so she can be the first female president for a little while? I mean, that just seems like they'd be playing games.
But I understand those on the left that would like to do that. That way they can go, look, the first female president. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know the kind of precedents that we like to set? You know, Record gasoline surpluses. Americans paying the least at the pump ever before. Lowest interest rates, of ever before. Housing becoming, more affordable than ever before. Jobs becoming super plentiful. I mean, you want to break precedent. You want something new and exciting. Those are the things that we want. Those are things that impact and benefit most Americans. Instead of just to be able to pat yourself on the back and we had our first female president. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, what does that, I mean?
We got much bigger things going on than that. You'd think. But it is interesting. You know, the people have spoken, and Donald J. Trump is the leader that we mm-hmm. have chosen. But yet there are those that are digging in. One of them is that Governor J.B. Pritzker.
Oh, he's the worst.
Out of and that's one way to pronounce his last name. But anyway, he's the governor out of Illinois. And he wants to dig in. One of the things he's doing is making sure, Illinois, we have the welcome mat out, for all of the, the immigrants. Again, do the people of Illinois feel the same way? Of course they don't. So here you go. Here's a politician who doesn't care about the will of the people.
Yeah.
They're dummies. I know better. I'm going to do what I want to do. But he also pledged to launch a campaign to boost radical sex change procedures in his state in response to Donald Trump's landslide election.
What a goal, man.
He's using Transgender Awareness Week to do it. I want you to know that I see you and have your back as governor. He put this on X. Illinois has enshrined protections for gender-affirming care to meet this moment. And because of that, you will have home here always.
Care, huh?
Gender-affirming care. So you're going to, hurry up and what? Rush through some of these operations just so you can kind of rub it in Trump's face? You know, there's already many stories coming out about people felt like they were fast-tracked on this, change of body. When I say change of body, it was double mastectomy type stuff. Mm-hmm. And they felt like, that was the only thing. Like, you're depressed? You have this problem? It's a gender thing. And here, we can fix that.
Right.
And boom, before they knew it, they're on the operating table.
And you haven't really fixed the problem.
Well, of course
it's
not.
A problem.
Maybe 1 in 10 million might actually go, I feel so much better now. Yeah. Maybe. But a lot of them, and they don't like to talk about this, but a lot of them are filled with regret. Mm-hmm. Gee, regret. Mix in a little shame and you already have depression.
Oh, so it doesn't fix anything here.
In fact, it could make it worse. Yeah. And in fact, it has made it worse in some cases. Oh. Pritzker's cousin, James Nicholas Pritzker, a retired lieutenant colonel in the Illinois National Guard, is now a transgender person who goes by the name Jennifer and runs a left-wing organization that passes out grants to organizations that support gender and human sexuality.
What a coincidence.
Well, it's one thing to have a service that can be provided to those that really meet some sort of extreme guidelines and after years of counseling and all that. But it's another thing the way it seems like they push it and promote it.
Right.
Push it.
They want it to happen. It's not it's not care about anybody.
As the governor, billionaire Pritzker has been at the forefront of pushing extreme and dangerous trans ideology. In 2021, he directed the state's Department of Human Services to put in place a list of protections for transgender, non-binary, and gender non-conforming students as part of his reinterpretation of the Illinois Human Rights Act of 1979. All right.
Mm.
So, yeah, he's that Pritzker guy. Well, they elected him.
They continually over the years. I mean, how many either governors of the state or mayors of Chicago have ended up in prison? There's a pattern there. Just saying.
You know what? We need an early smile. A UFC champ, John Jones. He wins. He wins the heavyweight championship. Trump is in the audience, and listen to what the UFC champ said.
I'm proud to be a Christian American champion. While I got the moment, while everybody's cheering and so happy, I want to acknowledge Jesus Christ. I,
I tell you what, man, I cannot take credit for a gift like this, man. I really owe it all to him. And I know that there's millions of people around the world watching right now. And I just want to let you guys know that Jesus loves you so much. That's all I'll say about that.
Wow. A message of love.
Yeah, that's nice.
And he also did a little Trump dance.
Yes, he did.
And he even gave Trump the big...
the belt.
The belt prize, the championship belt, for a couple of minutes.
Very nice.
But yeah, yeah. Good stuff. America's coming back strong, baby. 9:48 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Coming up next, things that make you smile, upbeat, positive, non-political thoughts. Sharing with us, 877-975-9825. Things That Make You Smile is brought to you by Robin Larson Dental. Another beautiful day. Plenty to be thankful for and to smile about. It is time now for Things That Make You Smile. Upbeat, positive thoughts, non-political. And it's brought to you by the best dentist in the whole world, Robin Larson Dental. Call now, 877-975-9825. Good morning, John. What's making you smile?
Well, I searched all the beer manufacturers, and I can only find two beer manufacturers in the United States that are totally unwoke and DEI diversity free, the Modelo beer and Yingling beer. Both great, full-bodied, great-tasting beers.
Drink responsibly, okay?
Don't drink and drive.
There.
Or don't drink and call.
Yeah, that too, for sure. Good morning, Kaz. What's making you smile?
Good morning, Bob and team. Great show. You always make Mondays great. And you were talking Christmas movies, so I have to say, beautiful movies. A Child is Born about Jesus. Absolutely stunning. Snoopy's Christmas. Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, yeah.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'm going back to childhood. I love you guys. Thanks so much. God bless and God bless America.
Oh, God bless you, Kaz. Love all those as well.
You may have to look for some of those a little bit. Some of them have been dropped, like Rudolph, and some of those aren't, the major networks aren't necessarily running them anymore, but they are still available out there, so just kind of look for them. So.
Peasant with a pitchfork, what's making you smile?
Yeah, good morning, Bob. This gorgeous weather is making me smile, and they're saying we could get some rain from that storm, Sarah. Hoping we get that. That's making me smile. And John Jones is making me smile. And the UFC finally getting the recognition it deserves. I've loved mixed martial arts for 50 years. And I really don't get into many sports at all except the UFC and mixed martial arts in general. And that's making me smile that they're getting the recognition they deserve.
Yeah, they're getting, they, man, they just continue to set records with attendance and everything else.
Madison Square Garden?
Yeah. It definitely has arrived, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Mark. Good morning. What's making you smile?
Good morning, Bob. What's making me smile is that Rock the Country apparently got your memo regarding Don't Hold the Concert in August. And the other thing is that your newborn grandchild gets to see Christmas lights for the first time.
That'll be fun.
Isn't that? That's a sweet thought. Yeah, everything. Everything's a first time around.
Kind of been watching on the interwebs and the Book of Faces, friends of mine around the country that now we've got our tree up already, but some of them actually already have Christmas lights on their house already. And a lot of times folks wait till around Thanksgiving, but then I thought, wow, that's really soon. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we always have some kind of lights, some twinkling lights around the house.
But those are flickering because you haven't changed them. That's all that is.
No.
Oh, no, you mean not the Christmas
lights. It's always, an upbeat kind of atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But to do the more formalized version, we'll probably get started on that fairly soon.
It is sneaking up on us, though.
I like a little bit personally. It's about the work. I mean, I like it when people go crazy.
Well, we've got.
I like to look at theirs.
Yes. Well, we don't even try to compete with our next door neighbor. Theirs are definitely seen by satellite.
Yeah.
So I usually go like all white and keep it just simple. So I'm not even trying to compete with.
God, you made Christmas racist, Greg.
I'm sorry.
Did you hear that?
It's a white Christmas.
Did you hear what Greg said?
That's right.
Don't go anywhere. Coming up next, it's the Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR.
Sean Hannity.
Somebody's going to attack me. I'm going to fight, and I'm going to fight to win.
Weekdays, 3 p.m.
I like a good combative brawl. If I have to choke you out to protect myself, I'll choke you out. I'm fighting mad here.
On 97.3 The Sky.
Time now for the Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Senate-elect Adam Shifty Schiff was on State of the Union with Jake Tapper on CNN, and Jake Tapper said, President-elect Trump repeatedly called you the enemy from within. And then he played a clip of Trump saying, I think the problems are the people within, but they could be handled by, if necessary, you know, the National Guard, if necessary, by the military. He said, is he talking about you? Schiff said, clearly, that's what he was talking about. To which I say, all righty. I like that. When can that be done by? And that is your Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg, I'm Bob. God bless you and your family. Have a great, safe day. See ya.